Good morning, Martin. How are you? Are you staying up late at night to try and take in some of the Royal Ascot action?
Good morning, Mick. Look, I haven't. I've been my days have been pretty full with COVID and easing of restrictions, and by that time of night, I'm ready for a kip. So I have the last races I was at was the Grand Annual, which was unreal, but it feels like 6 months ago. It was only 6 weeks ago.
There has been a lot going on. Now, I'm going to touch on the Integrity Commissioner's report and findings into the stewards, also the development tax. But you mentioned COVID. Let's start with that, with the crowds. Are we likely to see crowds back at racetracks anytime soon in metropolitan Melbourne?
Look, all going well, I think so. You know, we've had the case numbers have been coming down. You saw before this outbreak, we had we had significant crowds, I think up to 10,000 at Flemington and slightly less elsewhere. As soon as the Chief Health Officer is absolutely satisfied that he's, you know, got his arms around this outbreak and that all of the potential chains of transmission are either ended or at least they're tucked away, unable to infect anyone else, then I expect to see public events back on the agenda quite soon. We've got a crowd at the footy in regional Victoria this Friday night. I would expect regional racing crowds to follow and metropolitan hopefully shortly thereafter. So, you know, if all goes well, we'll be talking to racing officials in the next couple of weeks.
And I'd imagine it would be a restricted amount. Any ideas what the type of figures would be?
No, not yet. I mean, firstly, it becomes, you know, I think the show's made it clear that he wants to gradually ease out of this. So it's not going to be snap back bang to where we were. And it'll partly depend on what applications come from the racing clubs, CRV. So the way it works is a club will make an application for a certain number in a certain configuration, and that'll get assessed by the public health panel. And sometimes they'll go back and say, well, you can't have X, but you can have Y. So it's a very iterative process. There's a lot of back and forth. My department gets engaged, Office of Racing gets engaged, and we sit down with the clubs and with health, and we thrash out a number that's acceptable to the public health team. So that'll be the same this time. And, you know, it's winter, so we don't tend to have huge crowds anyway. So I think we can ease back into it and hopefully be back running on all cylinders in time for spring, which I'm confident we will be.
Do you think that the clubs, the major metropolitan clubs, can plan for spring carnivals with confidence, putting up marquees, spending the money with this, I suppose, shadow hanging over them, that we could get another snap lockdown?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everyone in the events, you know, whether it's major events, sport, public events, have shown that they've, you know, that they've got to be agile. And I understand that if you're talking about major fixed infrastructure, like, you know, a birdcage, for example, that's a big chance for a club to take because, yep, there can be, you know, if you have a major outbreak, it can throw those plans into disarray. But, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic that's killed millions of people. And unfortunately, that means you do have to be flexible and things can change in ways that you don't expect. I mean, I don't imagine they expected to have cases in Sydney as they've now got. We didn't expect the Adelaide outbreak to get to us, but, you know, it's a really difficult time all over the world, and plans have to change sometimes. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality we're in.
Yesterday, Martin, the Integrity Racing Commissioner, Sean Carroll, handed down his independent report into the stewards' handling of the case against Richard Lamming, which ended up having that case being dropped because of the actions of steward Dion Vilela. Now, there were 8 recommendations amongst the findings. Sean Carroll said that he found that Vilela's conduct fell well short of the high standards expected of race day stewards, and his conduct was aggravated by his overt act to hide his behaviour, and that was contacting fellow steward Mark Stevens. He did go on to say, however, that in all the reviews and the investigations that he did, he could find no other evidence of any wrongdoing, and there'd been a lot of innuendo about that from the steward's point of view.
Yeah.
What was your overview of the report handed down yesterday?
Well, I think, understandably, I don't get into individual integrity matters. That's why we've got stewards. That's why I've got Racing Victoria. My job is to make sure that we've got the structures in place so that these things can be properly dealt with. And I think it's I think it was great credit to Sean. He's only been in the job a really short period of time, but he's demonstrated a really robust independence and a preparedness to tell tell it straight and harsh truth sometimes. And I think it is it's a testament to the fact that we've got these additional layers of integrity assurance, whether it's the RIC or the integrity board, to ensure that PRAs are accountable. I think clearly it's been a bit of a messy situation. I think Racing Victoria dealt with it by reassigning that steward and by dropping the case. Sean Carroll's independently looked at the actions and made recommendations, which RV has accepted, and I think that's the right thing for them to do. I think we've always got to get better, and if the integrity commissioner's there to point out where he thinks there's been a failure or something's been less than adequately handled, then that's a good thing for the industry.
He's also asked Racing Victoria to investigate whether a charge should be brought against the steward of bringing racing into disrepute. That's an easy word for me to say. What do you think about
disrepute?
That? That's the one.
it's perfectly appropriate for you to ask the question, Michael. But I'm not going to make comments about whether I think individual integrity officials should be dealt with one way or another, but I think having made the recommendation that they should investigate it, and I'm sure they will.
There was one interesting point that he made in the recommendations, and that was he identified a number of procedural and legislative concerns in regards to the Racing Act and the rules of racing, which he will do a subsequent report into. Now, what is he actually talking about there? Are you aware of what some of those issues may be?
No, I'm not. But I'll sit down with him, and if he thinks there are deficiencies in the Racing Act, then that is a matter for government, and I'll get a better sense from Sean of what legislative amendment he thinks is necessary. And then, as I always do, I'd discuss that with my colleagues, but also with the opposition. One of the great things about our industry in Victoria is that whether it's been the point of consumption tax or changes to governance, we've been able to make changes to racing rules in a bipartisan way, and so I talked to Tim Bull and I talked to my colleagues about any changes that Sean might think is necessary in regards to the Racing Act.
And the majority of other recommendations focused on increased training and funding for the steward and integrity area, which can be very, very thin, especially during carnivals. Is that an area that we need to look at more closely? More funding, more support for our integrity teams?
Well, quite conceivably, but that would be a matter for Racing Victoria. I mean, the government has the government's in terms of funding. We've just passed a change to the point of consumption tax, which is all being passed through to the industry, every additional dollar, which will mean tens of millions of additional dollars for racing. So, and I've been clear about this in the past, I don't think that every extra dollar that Racing Victoria receives needs to go to prize money. There's lots of other things that need looking at, whether it's animal welfare, integrity, ensuring that staff are well paid. There's, all of those participants, whether it's barrier attendants or, catering staff, you name it. There's lots and lots of different calls on the racing dollar, but the government has massively increased funding to the industry, not just through the point of consumption tax increase, but through uplifts to prize money year on year over the last few years.
Speaking of money, the situation with the MRC and the proposed or potential redevelopment of Sandown and the sale with the new developer's tax, it could cost them $200 million. I believe you met with the MRC yesterday. Was this developer's tax a surprise to you as a racing minister? Were you aware that this was occurring? Because the MRC certainly said that they were blindsided by this.
Well, I'd like to think that as a member of the cabinet, I might know about things a little bit earlier than the racing club. But look, this is not targeted at the Melbourne Racing Club in particular. It's a tax which says if the government or the planning department rezones land from one use to another, and as a developer you make a windfall gain out of that rezoning, then there should be some dividend to the community. So that's the thinking behind the tax increase, and I think it's quite justifiable. Having said that, yes, I met with Josh Blanksby from the MRC yesterday. There was someone from the Treasurer's Office at the meeting, someone from Racing Victoria at the meeting, as well as Peter Betson from the Office of Racing. We had a really good chat. I'm now sort of better apprised of the MRC's concerns. We've undertaken to them that there should be, some detailed discussion between the club and Treasury and the Treasurer's Office about what the potential implications are, what the potential mitigations are. It's obviously a serious issue because both the club and the Caulfield Racecourse Reserve Trust have significant ambitions about the redevelopment of Caulfield, and funds from the potential sale of or the potential rezoning and differential use of Sandown would potentially go to supporting that work at Caulfield. So we recognise that it's a serious issue. There'll be some conversations. I'm not convinced the impact is quite as large as the MRC thinks it is. I can say that neither does Treasury think that, but that's all going to be thrashed out. This isn't coming in overnight, so there's plenty of time for those discussions.
So does that mean there's a likelihood that that tax would be reduced or abolished
this? No, I'm not saying that. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm saying that there's a conversation to be had about whether there are potential mitigations, whether other things that the club are doing could somehow be taken into account. There's plenty of discussions to be had. I'm not going to preempt what the outcome of that might be, but the Treasurer's Office, BTF, and the Office of Racing will sit down and deal constructively with both the MRC and Racing Victoria about what the implications of this might be, and whether any of that can be mitigated in any way.
The MRC is saying that if they have to pay that tax, they believe they won't be able to do the redevelopment as they want to at Caulfield. Do you believe that to be the case?
Well, as I say, that's what they're saying. They're basing that on what they believe the impact of this will be. That might or might not be right. I'm saying to you, I think Treasury's view is that that's a bit overstated, but there's a conversation to be had. I'm not going to preempt it, Michael. I'm just not.
You're a great racing fan. What's your view on the potential sale of Sandown? Would you like to see the racetrack remain or be redeveloped?
Oh, well, look, I think, it's probably the wrong week to ask you that after my punting performance on Saturday at Sandown. But, look, I think my view about this has always been that I'd only support it if the industry as a whole thought that the outcome would be ultimately beneficial for racing. So whether that means, you know, second track at Caulfield, year-round use, potentially some part of the proceeds going towards the development of a purpose-built training centre. There's lots and lots of different possibilities that emerge. It's difficult because the land is all owned by the MRC, not by the government and not by the industry. So there'd need to be an arrangement between the racing industry and the MRC where any possible sale could benefit the industry as a whole, and RV would need to be signed up for that. And if it got to that point, I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it. If we got to a point where the industry was satisfied that the sale or a differential use of Sandown could be of benefit to the whole industry, I think we need to look at these things globally rather than just think about a particular site. But ultimately, as I say, Michael, the land belongs to the MRC. 100%. It's not a matter for the government to decide what happens to it.
Appreciate your time. Just one quick one before I let you go, because I know you've got a meeting, but we've got a few SMSs from the people in the country, because we go out to 92% of Victoria here on RSN, yep, about obviously country racing, but also country sports and getting when that can return. Is there any word on that?
Well, country sport, as I understood it, was being played last weekend and will be played this weekend.
And community crowds are able to attend?
In regional Victoria, I don't have the table in front of me, but we announced a relaxation of restriction yesterday to come into effect at midnight tonight. And my recollection is that there were some additional spectators allowed in regional Victoria as of this weekend.
Excellent. Fingers crossed we can all get back to the track very soon. Appreciate your time, Martin. Good luck on the punt this weekend and with the Blues as well.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Cheers.
Right. Martin Pakula, the Racing Minister there.